recorded live.
Well, welcome to episode 19 of the Geocaching Podcast. Today we are going to talk about power caching. First, though, I have to say, we don't have our opening music like we normally do, and this is a fluke in the TalkCast system, I think. Normally, I dial in with Gizmo Project, which is a VoIP type of a client, kind of like Skype. It allows me to dial into the TalkShoe thing. Well, when I dialed in today, it wouldn't actually let me put my PIN in. It just kept saying, please put your PIN in, please put your PIN in. So I'm actually using the Shoe Phone, which is the built-in VoIP client in TalkShoe, so I don't have to dial in, don't have to do anything like that. This is the first time I'm actually doing a show with it, but unfortunately, I can't play the music and the recorded stuff live with that. So no fancy music today, but that doesn't matter because the important stuff is the information that I have. So welcome to the show. It's episode 19. It's Tuesday, and today is the last opportunity to get put on the list for the GeoCoin. Next week, we'll be drawing out a user, listener, to win the GeoCoin, the I'm Frog 2002 GeoCoin. So, this is your last opportunity to be into that. We have Moscow32, who's in our chat client live. Moscow32, if you have any questions, go ahead and type them in or call them in. I'm going to open up the line at the end of the show in case anyone has any, and just any general questions. But if you have any questions during the show, go ahead and type them in or call in. The number to call in today is 724-444-7444, and the TalkCast ID is 7525. If you do not have a PIN, use the PIN 436-222-4302, and that spells out geocache 02 or 01. You can use either one of those on the PIN pad. If you want to call in, if you call in today, you get a chance to be on the show, and you get the chance to also be included in the drawing for the coin. So anyways, here's the first topic that we have to talk about today. This week is the first time I've actually got a chance to go out on a FTF hunt. Well, no, I take that back. Second time. First time, I didn't have my GPS, and I saw it. I was at work, and I just went and printed out the Google Maps, and I saw it, and I didn't get the first to find. I was second to find. But this week, I was at work. The email came in saying there was a geocache, and it was in my hometown, and so I was obviously at work. I wasn't in my hometown, and it was a new listing. So I was all bummed out because I was like, I'm at work. I don't have my GPS with me to go and hunt this geocache out. Well, I was watching it all day, seeing if anyone logged it, and no one had logged it. So when I got home, I quickly changed my shirt, got my GPS. I'm loving the send right to GPS feature that we talked about a few weeks ago that they have implemented with the Garmin GPS on geocaching.com, because I didn't even need to open up GSAC. All I did is go right to geocaching.com, said send to my GPS, and I was out the door. I went down, and I was actually the FTF. And I was going to play today. I recorded audio while I was actually finding the geocache, but since I can't play it because I couldn't use my Gizmo project today, I can't play that for you. So, but remember, guys, if you do, our show notes are found at geocachingpodcast.info, and we love to hear from our listeners, so make sure to drop us a line. You can email us at xpunkx@geocachingpodcast.info. Or you can give us a call at 206-350-3GPS and leave us a message. That's how I did it when I was out on the road and was doing the FTF hunt. So that's 206-350-3GPS. One of the things, I got an email from somebody this week, and it said, "Greetings, fellow cachers. The Alabama Geocaching Association is putting together our first annual event this fall. We are trying to get around and get the word out. The Alabama Opinal Invitation is being held September 28th through 30th, 2007, in Gulf Shores." So, Alabama, and it's right on the beach. The event will be replete with lots of opportunities for food, fellowship, and fun, including a Sitto event, guided cache runs, deep sea fishing, South Alabama Delorme cache run, and lots of wonderful food. So mark your calendars, keep an eye out for our event. Lots of plans are still brewing, but it all points to fun. So once again, that's the Alabama Open Invitational. If you're in the area, if you're in Alabama, the waypoint is GC12MQJ, and I'll put that on our show notes at geocachingpodcast.info. So make sure to hit that up so we can so you can go to that if you're in the Alabama area in September. So now to our topic today, for today. The topic is power caching. You may be wondering, what is power caching? Power caching is when you set a date, you go out, and you hit as many caches as possible. Usually you try to find like 100 or more, you know, doing lots and lots of caching in a day. It's a very, very specific task, and it's very planned out. I've not actually done one of these yet, but I'm planning to do one, and so I have all the notes and stuff that I've been making on what I need to do, and I've been contacting lots of people trying to figure out what I can do and how to do that. Here's what I've come up with, guys. Like I said, I'm no expert at this because I've not actually done one, but I've talked to people who have, and these are the things that I've come up with that I'm going to take on my power caching trip. Things that I'm going to need is, first off, you're going to need at least three people. Don't try this alone. You can't do it because there's just too many different things to do, too many different roles that you need to do while doing this power caching trip, because it's a very quick trip. Usually, you do about about 4 to 6 minutes per cache. That's all. So there's very specific plans that need to be taken. There's very specific roles that people have. So the things that you're going to need to take with you on the power cache are flashlight for when it gets dark, because usually, if you're doing it late enough where you're trying to hit a lot of them in a day and you're going to do most of the day, you're going to want a flashlight, because when it gets dark, you may need your flashlight to find some caches. You're going to want to make sure, though, you know which caches can and cannot be found after dark. Most cemetery caches can't be found after dark because they don't like you lurking there after dark. So that's the first thing you're going to need. Next thing you're going to want to take is you're going to want to take water with you so you don't get dehydrated, because there isn't a lot of time to stop. You do need to take water with you. It's mostly important, as you found out 2 weeks ago when we had our show on how to stay hydrated. We talked about all that stuff and how important it is to stay hydrated. So on your power cache, take plenty of water with you. And it's usually, especially if you're power caching and you're driving, it's real easy. Just throw a cooler full of water. It's real easy. The next thing you're going to want to do is you're going to want to take lunch, because stopping for lunch slows you down. So pack a lunch that you can eat on the road that you don't need to stop for. If it's maybe a cold turkey sandwich and something to get you energized, but you don't want to have to stop. So something that the driver can eat, something that the rest of the people can eat while they're actually on the road. The next thing that I've found that you're going to need to take with you on the power caching trip, and this is debatable, I'm going to actually take two different laptops. The people that I've talked to said that they take a laptop and a PDA, but since the way I do paperless caching is a laptop, I'm actually going to want to take two laptops, because I want to have one that has GSAC running so I can see the different caches and the different waypoints. If you're not familiar with GSAC, what it is the Geocaching Swiss Army Knife. It can be found at GSAC.net. And if you're a premium member, what you can do is you can download the GPX files, which has all the information as far as the caches that you're going to hit. So GSAC, what you'll want to do is you'll want to filter out either with the when you build your pocket query, filter out the higher rated caches, the ones that you know you're not going to be able to hit really quickly. So anything over like a 3.3 or 2.2 or 2 or something like that, you're going to filter out. So you're only going to get the easier find caches. But with GSAC, you'll have all that information of the logs, and so the person that's got the laptop can do that. But I will go on to that a little bit more later. And the other one, the other laptop that you're going to run is going to have something like Microsoft Strip, not Strips, I don't want Microsoft Stripping. Microsoft Streets and Trips, some sort of map program that you can have the waypoints loaded into too, so you can have like a navigator who can see a broad view of the area and where the best ways and roads and stuff to go to get to the caches in the most pocket worth of caches. So, and then the next thing obviously you're going to need is your GPSR. Each person should have one. It's not necessary that the driver has one, but everyone else should. The last thing that I'm going to say and is going to make it easier for doing power caching is stickers for logging. That way you don't need to even take the time to write anything down at all. You can just plop your sticker there, pop it back in the cache, and get on to your next one. Like I said, that you need to have a time limit of 4 to 6 minutes on each cache. That way you can have time to get out, get to the next one. One of the guys that I've heard from, they averaged a cache every 6 minutes. So that's crazy, but they have their record. They do a lot of really good stuff with that. So you may be asking yourself, what are the roles of the people who are along with you on this cache hunt? I've mentioned it briefly, but a driver, what he's going to do is he's just going to drive. Obviously, he's going to do driving, he's going to do parking, and he can do the finding too. He can jump out with a GPS and do the finding. But if there's no place to park right near the cache, like if you're driving into the park and there's a trail right there where you can definitely tell it's going to the geocache, but you don't know there's no parking there, the driver is going to circle around and be back there and meet you guys back there so you can get out quickly. He doesn't need to actually stop the car and start it again. He can just do circling so that he or she, you know, doesn't need to waste time parking the car and everyone walk to the cache or where it's at. They're going to drop you off closest place to the cache if possible. If it's close to drop or to park, then definitely park and the driver can get out. But if not, go ahead and just do the driving. You can also switch these roles during the day so that not one person has to do the driving the whole day. That way, you know, because that would get boring if just one person was just driving and didn't get to actually find any geocaches. But the driver, is the first role that you're going to have. Then there's going to be a navigator, and he's going to have the laptop that's running Streets and Trips with the caches loaded so that they can see where they're all at. Their responsibilities are basically to guide you to the next cache. They're going to have be the best at navigating. They're going to be the best at trying to figure out what roads go where the best. So they're going to see the caches in a broad type of view and tell you what the next cache is. And then their job also is to yell out to the what I'm going to call the logger. And he's going to have the other laptop running GSAC. He'll call the logger what the waypoint is of the next cache. And so the guy running the laptop with GSAC can quickly type in the GC number and see what it is. You know, read the brief about it. Say, this is you're looking for an ammo container. You're looking for a matchstick. You're looking for a decon container. He's going to be able to do that and tell you what the last three logs are. And you're going to be able to do that type of stuff. Another thing what I would do is, this is why I would have GSAC running, is because that person can then log the cache in GSAC when you find it. He can, with GSAC, you can say, I found it. You can write a mini log in there. You can write any log in there. And then when you get back, it's really easy to use a micro or a macro that can be built into GSAC to quickly log the caches so you don't need to type out everything that you may have written in your log. It copies and pastes it, and it's really simple, really easy, good for the times you're doing 100 or more caches. That way you don't have to spend like the good part of a week logging your caches. You can do it relatively quickly. So that's one of the things, those are the three main responsibilities. Some people, instead of having the other laptop that's running GSAC, if you do paperless caching with a PDA, it's the same type of a thing because you have all of the descriptions in the PDA. Same type of deal. You can do that instead of another laptop, but since I don't do paperless caching like that, I do it with my laptop and GSAC. I tend to one. I mean, that's how we're gonna do it when we do it. Is we're gonna use the one person having a GSAC. And it's important to another thing that I forgot to say, and the things that you will need to take with you is probably a power inverter, because if you're using laptops, you're gonna need to keep the battery strong. So unless you have multiple batteries for your laptop, definitely use a power inverter or two. That way you can keep your power, all of your devices that you're using. Definitely bring extra batteries too. I forgot that, because you don't want to set out on your 100 cache day or more day and get halfway through the day and have your batteries and your GPS give out. That's important. Otherwise you'll have to go to the store and buy batteries, and that will slow you way down. So since I have never actually done the power caching, and I've only speculating on how this goes, contacted Lego Boy JJ, and he's part of Team Blur, and they go out and do lots and lots and lots of power caching. So I sent him an email, and I asked him basically how him and his team do it when they do this power caching. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read you this email of what Lego Boy JJ said. He said that they look for high-density area. They read up on some of the logs on the cache pages and see kind of how the area is. So they don't even necessarily do it right around their house. Like, they go to different states sometimes and even do it. They said it's best done with a team because everyone has a job, and finding the caches goes way faster when there are three people that are looking for them as opposed to one. The different roles that they have are, they have a driver, a recorder / PDA guy, and a navigator / cache lookup guy. So they've actually combined, they're actually doing their navigator, who is actually doing the cache lookup. So they've actually combined the two responsibilities that I would have, navigator / logger, GSAC guy. They've combined that guy, and they have a recorder / PDA guy. And he said he built a desk that hangs off the back of the front seat for his laptop, which is really important. That way he can leave his laptop in there, and he can get in and out really easy, and it's really easy for him to get in and out. So he says he usually sits in the back, and he does the navigating and gets us to the biggest pockets caches without backtracking. So apparently what he's saying is that he tries to find pockets of caches along the way that without backtracking. And he says that they usually have a 3 to 4 minute in and out rule, power caching. So if you don't find it, you gotta keep moving. He said that their last trip, they found 621 caches. That's more than just one day. They think they did that over multiple days. But they had a 10% DNF. So some of them, they said, that were there, and some of them were gone, but they couldn't waste a bunch of time looking. So they did 10% DNFs of 621 that they found. So imagine how many cache sites that they actually hit. So they said that they usually also don't do multi-caches, but sometimes they read up on some of them. And this last time they did about 10, and that were usually just two-stagers, and that were fairly easy that they thought that they would have time for. I wouldn't recommend doing that if you're new to this, new to power caching, because the multis take longer times, and sometimes you have to find more information. And so if you're trying to hit a lot of caches, definitely I wouldn't do the multi-caches. They said that they all have 60 CSX GPS units, which are the Garmin color ones, and they said that they have special characters that they use in the notes to tell us what happened on the last four visits. So, and it also tells them the rating and it also tells them the terrain and the type of cache and the size of the cache. So he said it looks in their notes kind of like this: FFF1ATM, which equals the last four people that logged it found it. That would be the FFFF. And it's a 1.5 traditional micro. So they said and that's all done in GSAC. And GSAC does have, you can export that stuff to the note files, and it's really simple and really easy. So they can do that in their note files. I, however, don't have a 60CS. I just have a little Garmin eTrex Legend, the blue guy, and so I obviously can load all my caches through a data cable, which is nice, because I wouldn't even try this if I couldn't load them in. If I had to load them in by hand, that'd be ridiculous. So that's what Lego Boy JJ does with Team Blur. So if anyone has any questions, go ahead and either type them in to the TalkCast Live, or go ahead and call us at 724-444-7444, and the TalkCast ID, 7525. So if you, we'll open up the mic if anyone has any questions about that. Another thing that I'm going to do with when we go is I'm gonna filter out on my, I guess I could filter out in GSAC the caches that are over a certain level, but I'm actually gonna do that in the Pocket Query, so I don't even get them into GSAC. I'm gonna do them just around my area so far. It's my first time going out and doing this power caching, so I don't know quite how well it's gonna go. But I'm looking forward to doing that, and I'll definitely bring you audio from that when we do that, and I'll let you know how that goes. Since there's three people, I will be actually have time to hopefully bring you some audio from that, and that's as long as two, as I'm able to dial in with Gizmo Project like I'm supposed to be able to, but for some reason I can't today. I'm actually using ShoePhone, which I think is working out well, but I don't have my audio to bring to you guys. So that's how you power cache. If anyone's ever done this and would like to call in and give me any other tips, go ahead and call in either right now live, 724-444-7444, TalkCast ID is 7525, or you can go ahead and leave us a voicemail at 206-350-3GPS. We'd love to hear from you guys, and go ahead and play the audio on the next show. But so if you can give me any hints, tips, and tricks, because like I said, I've never done this. This is just my research in planning on doing a power cache and how to go about doing that. So if anyone's out there has ever done this, go ahead and give me a call. Let me know how it goes. And next week, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys, because we're actually going to do the drawing next week for the coin. And there's actually only a few people that are in the running for it, so you have a pretty good chance of actually getting this coin. So so make sure you join us next week, same time, 9:00 Eastern Standard Time, and that's on 9 p.m. and that's on Tuesday, where we will be giving away this coin and we'll be talking about some other fun stuff. So make sure you guys can join us. Tell all your friends about it. Make sure you subscribe. We are on iTunes, and we are also, if you go to geocachingpodcast.info, you'll find all of our show notes and our show links there. So make sure you join us next week. It's a lot of fun. We may open up the mic a little bit next week so we can do more of a roundtable discussion. So the more people, the better. So go ahead and join us. Tell all your friends. And meanwhile, go out there. So get them, keep on caching, and as of right now, the Geocaching Podcast coin contest is actually ending. So if you're not in it yet, you're no longer in the running. So thanks everybody for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. TalkCast ID 7525 on TalkShoe.com. Thanks. Have a good week.